On this episode of The Playbook, I have James Krause, UFC welterweight fighter and entrepreneur, and we're going to talk about combating fear, being a thinker and a fighter, that's a rarity, and why he sees consequences as a positive occurrence. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and another terrifying playbook here because I have a UFC welterweight past lightweight fighter, James Krause. Welcome to The Playbook.
I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, entrepreneurs and UFC fighters have a lot in common. That's why I love having you guys on, because The Playbook to Success really revolves around how you manage the truth and fear, because I don't think there's anything more terrifying. I played college football, and I think I'd still do it as much as everyone's afraid, but I don't, like, I have been in the biggest, I mean, the UFC arenas I've been in, and I don't even like stepping into those things. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I think just like with anything, you get desensitized to it over. I mean, I've been fighting for 13 years. I have over 60 fights. That's just MMA. It's not including, you know, jiu-jitsu competition, kickboxing, whatever. So I think at some point, just like with anything, I'm afraid of heights, right? So, but if I went skydiving every day for the next year, it wouldn't be a big deal after, you know, a month probably. So I think you just get desensitized to it if you allow yourself to be. Obviously, you know, you still see the mental lapses and the breaks all the time with people. But for me, I've been doing it for so long. I think it's just kind of a part of me, and I've just gotten used to. I think there's so much consequence in this sport, physically and mentally, that it's almost like you just have to deal with it. I don't really put much stock into the consequence. I kind of just drive past it. You know what I mean? It's almost like a small town when you're on a road trip. You don't really worry about it. You know, like I'll get to the next gas station. You know, so
that's an entrepreneurial statement, right? Is there's so much pain involved with growing a business, and it takes longer. And I've heard all the time, right? The punches keep on coming. Or, you know, I was with Gary Vaynerchuk yesterday, and he has his book Left, Right.
Yeah, I read it.
And so, you know, that initiative though, you know, you have to have a consistent belief in yourself, because you're going to lose. You're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
The lessons, though, what I like about UFC, or, you know, I represented, you know, some great boxers along the way with Lee Steinberg. So we had Lennox Lewis, Evander Holyfield, even Oscar De La Hoya.
You guys are good.
But those guys got hurt, too. You know, and the lessons were painful. And it's not just the loss, the lessons of the loss. It's the lessons of making a mistake. But it manifests itself in quicker pain, and the pain goes away faster than, for example, if you're a dummy like me and lose $100 million, it takes a little bit longer for the pain to go away. I wish, you know, I broke my nose when I was 16, a sophomore in high school playing football, and everybody would cringe when they saw the cast on my face. I was on homecoming court, actually, with a white cast, and that pain went away really quick.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much already said it best, that there's an emotional roller coaster, just because with fighting especially, it's such a primitive thing. It's always the end of the road. Like, so if we go back and forth, you say, I have more money than you, and I'll say, well, I'm faster than you, and you say, well, I lift more than you, but the end of the line is like the most primitive end of the line is, well, I'll beat you up. You know what I mean? And there's this, you won't top that. You know what I mean? So like, no matter how much money you have, I'll whoop your ass. And that's just that, it's over at that point. Right. So whenever you get beat up in front of everybody, it's kind of like, oh, you know, I lost that. I lost that.
The and biggest just, stroke to the ego ever.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is. So it's embarrassing. And you know, just like what we're talking about with business, you hit those moments all the time where, it just seems like it, for a split second, it seems like it's like, holy shit, man. Like, I can't, you know, I just can't deal with this. And then you figure it out and you just move on past the small town on the road, you know, and you go to the next gas station. So,
and you get stronger.
Yeah. Or you don't, you know what I mean? It's one or the other. And that's what I love. I think that's what pulls me to this sport and what pulls me to being an entrepreneur is, there's no gray area. It's one or the other. You will either grow from it or you won't. And, you know, there's no, there really isn't a lot of room for average in that. And I, and that's what I love about it is, you constantly have to challenge yourself. And for me, that's why I do it is it's a constant challenge to yourself of becoming a better version of you.
It's interesting because the sports background that a lot of entrepreneurs had, you know, a lot of the early entrepreneurs come from a sports background, because they don't quit, right?
Sure.
You know, they're used to the pain and the failures and they keep on going and they're used to taking big risks. Whereas I find it interesting, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're only going to get better. No matter what happens along the journey, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you know, my business partner is a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, he played professional football till he was 44 years old. But eventually, you know, he wasn't as good as he's 63 today, right? He's not as good as he was when he's 44 or 34.
Sure.
That's going to happen true with you as well.
Of course.
But as an entrepreneur, you could start today, and I promise you, in 20 years, you'd be a better entrepreneur.
Yeah, I don't think there's as much consequence. Consequence can be translated to learning lessons very easily with entrepreneurship, in my opinion, to whereas like there's an actual physical consequence of, you know, like your nose being broke or whatever, you know, like you have that it'll rest on you for quite a while. And I guess some of that stuff can be disguised in entrepreneurship with a loss of $100 million. That'll break your heart. you know, that it'll do that. But I just think it's a lot easier. Like you said, it's so much more difficult to it's almost impossible to not get better from it, you know. The lessons aren't as harsh physically, and I think that's where a lot of people have a hard time with. You know, we were just downstairs talking, and it's like if you just focus on the next, and I think it's a lot easier to do that when somebody's not hitting you in the face. You know, it makes it a lot easier.
A lot of guys who are in individual sports, men and women. When you're in an individual sport and then you make this transition, and a lot of people are already transitioning while they're fighting,
sure,
or golfing or whatever individual sport they're doing, there's much more involved with the team.
Yes.
And, you know, although there is a team behind you, you know, it's not the same as playing football, which is the ultimate team sport with 42 guys,
yeah,
and then the staff and the rest of the supporting staff. Where do you see that transition from coming from an individual sport to having to rely on so many other people for the actual fight, right? For the main event, it's going to take a lot of people to execute.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think just like with anything, to be great at something, you need to learn how to delegate and you need to learn how to ask people for help. I really, truly believe that. And it is an individual sport per se, but that's so far from the truth. I mean, we need training partners and people to keep us together, nutrition, technical work, and it's nonstop. We're not talking about like one-offs. We're talking about on a daily basis. You need all of these things to become great at what you're doing. So there's behind every great fighter or business person or whatever, there's always an awesome supporting cast behind them. And if you surround yourself by excellent people, you will be that. You know, either you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with or whatever. That's such a cliche statement, but it's true, man. It's so true.
Yeah,
you know, like you will get that. Those will be your results. That's something that I've really focused on hard this last 12 months is just surrounding myself with better people. And I don't mean that. You just got to level up. You know, you have to level up and spend time with different people and different mindsets. Even, you know, it's not about money necessarily. It's about different thing, open thinking, and I think that's a huge part of growth.
And you're very philosophical for, you know, a fighter. Where do these philosophies come from? Do you read a lot? Do you watch videos, podcasts?
Yeah.
How do you get this perspective at such a young age?
I study success. Man, you hit this a ton. We were just downstairs talking and you touched on this. I think especially anything, this is not, with the business I'm in, people think it's the fighting business. And then I always go as far as to say, it's not the fight business. It's sports entertainment business. And then, but there's such like another deep level of that is like you, it's not even that. It's the study of relationships. It's the study of networking. It's the study of body language, how people are reacting to you, who you know, how you treat people. To me, those things are far more important for the longevity of things than punching and kicking. Now, you obviously have to know how to do that if that's what you're going to be your trade. But those things will get you so much farther. Networking, knowing people, you know, how to talk to people, understanding body language, like that is so much more important to me than punching and kicking.
The other thing I like to learn about is, you know, you work so hard and so long for a fight.
Yes.
Right. And that fight comes and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sometimes you fight better than you thought you would, and other times you're really disappointed. What do you think the difference is, you know, looking back, you know, comparatively for the fights that you're like, wow, that was awesome. You know, you prepared a certain way. What are the key factors that you look back when you don't perform your best? When you look back, what is there something that consistently you could have done better?
Yeah, I think it's about finding your zone. You got to find your zone. Like, what is it for you? I know what mine is. And just to talk about like the clarity of what the zone means, I think there a few things need to happen. Like there has to be a heightened sense of consequence, right? Like there has to be an event that something can change the trajectory of your success or failure, right? I think there has to be a slight bit of nerves, but not to the point of where it clouds your judgment, right? And what that means is you're passionate about it and it matters to you,
right? Yeah.
Right? So for me, I know my zone comes from if I get hyped up, I'm yelling, screaming, all that, bro, I fight like I'm terrible. I'm awful. I have to go out and I have to be talking to my team and I have to conversate like you and I are, because I'm a thinker, right? I'm not a fighter. I'm a thinker. I'm an intellectual. I'm very technical. I'm very finesse style.
Like Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah. So like, I'm not going to be in your face the whole time. Like I'm looking to be rangy. I'm trying not to get hit. So my game is very, very technical and you have to have a clear head for that to be able to control range, to be able to control range deception, to be able to hit and not get hit. It's a very thinking man's game, the game I play. So
do you use psychological warfare when you're
absolutely,
with a group?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You have to, right? Like when you're on a track full of Ferraris, sometimes the octane of gas is the only difference you have. You know what I mean? So you have to use every advantage that you can to get an edge. And I think that for me, finding my zone, when I get in my zone, when I get out there, my only thing is I go out and I get my jab to work. If I get my jab to work, it's good. If I get kicked and it hurts, you're like, oh, that's for me, that's the small town thing that I need to pass by. And it's like, I just keep telling, just get to work. Cause I know what that means to me. That's my thing. Just go get to work. You know, these things are over here. There's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be fog. Just get to work.
My college football coach, cause I was always high up, low down, you know, cause I was a kick returner, running back, also defensive back. They're very emotional positions.
Yeah.
And he would just always grab me going, just keep playing. Right. Pass
get
up
to work.
The town. Yeah.
Get to work.
You know, in that aspect of the psychological side of things, have you ever been just beat by someone that's just better than you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, sometimes all the X factors, the mentality, maybe you change something in training, you're technical. Sometimes you'll just meet a guy that's better than you. And that happens. And from that, you have to take that as a learning experience. You know, what could I have done better? You have to break that down. I obsess over that. I lose sleep over that. Like, what could I have done? What am I going to do to be better from this? You know, not necessarily focus and dwell on the loss, because you can't think like that. How you do anything is how you do everything. So you have to focus on what's coming, not what's behind you. Right. So
I was wondering, you know, the psychology of a professional athlete, an individual professional athlete, you know, whether it be a golfer, a tennis player, you know, a fighter.
Sure.
Where, you know, there's a Tiger Woods, right?
Yeah.
And you just know on Tiger Woods' best day, you know, in his heyday, or, you know, that you have, you know, maybe a chance. Right. But he's better. You know,
he's
proven. He's really good.
He's good.
But you might go your whole career without being a champion.
Yeah. So I don't focus on that. I focus on being the best that I can be. And whatever that gets me to, then that's fine. And I'm going to be successful in everything that I do. I'm big on consistency. I'm big on, obsession over it, almost, you know, not to a fault, but I feel like these things, you have to lose a little bit of sleep over whatever you're gonna do, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And if I'm not a champion, I'm okay with that. I've been happy with what I've done, and I'll move on and I'll be successful at whatever's next.
That's the one thing I like about entrepreneurship. You know, you can have victories and losses, but you know, there's really, you know, you got Bezos.
There's no end though, right?
Right.
Like,
there's no,
it doesn't
right.
end.
And it's not like, you know, the sports side, there's one champion. What I like about entrepreneurs, there's literally thousands, if not millions of champions.
Yeah.
Because in the, determined upon my own values, right? I've, whether money, business, like right now, I'm at the pinnacle of where I've ever been. And it had, and yet, plenty of people make more money than me. Plenty of people have more office space than I have. They have more employees, or whatever you want to judge. But like, I have one thing that I judge myself by, which is my happiness, right? And the happiness are my personal values, experiential giving and receiving. And you know, I'm just at a point in my life. I wake up every day just so inspired and so happy, and really enjoying this journey and learning so many lessons.
And that's hard to do.
Which
that's
I never did in sports, man. I never was happy. I loved it, right? I miss playing football and baseball and all the things, but like I never felt like every single day I'm a champion. Like I don't have to wear a belt, but I literally feel like every day I'm walking around in my business now.
The champ.
Yeah, like champ, you know, I'm Sugar Ray. And Sugar Ray is my friend. Like I walk him thinking, what would have been like to walk around, you know, winning the gold medal, you know, being the world's best at something. And everybody, you've been claimed it, right? It's on your belt. It's on your name.
Can't
everyone calls
you
champ.
Yeah, no matter what happens,
but
it's yours.
But nobody
for
calls
life.
Me champ, and I'm not wearing any belts, and they can give you whatever accolades you want. But there's tons of guys who do more or whatever. But for me, I've never been just happy within myself. Can you do that as a fighter?
I think my attitude, everybody's different on it, obviously.
Yeah.
I think my attitude is kind of what we were just talking about with entrepreneurship is like, first of all, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, I was raised in a trailer park, bro. Like,
I'm
not supposed to be here anyway. So I've already won. I was the champ 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, I'm way past what I was ever expected to be anyway. So, I don't look at it as fighting as my purpose. I don't think it is my purpose. I think it's my platform, and I think it'll lead me to whatever my purpose is. But I don't ever really see it as a like a definitive loss. You know, I don't look at it like that.
Right.
It's for me, like you said, there's multiple champions. I feel like I'm already there. You know, obviously I do feel like I'm going to do more, but I don't ever look at it as like a win-loss thing. Like I've made it or I haven't made it, or I'm the champ or I'm not the champ. I'm way past where I should be or where I was supposed to be. And it's a race against myself, not anybody else. I don't worry about what other people are doing. I worry about what I'm going to do, what I can do to make myself better than I was yesterday.
Last question. We both come from more humble beginnings, you know.
The trailer park, bro.
Exactly. Akron, Ohio, man. It's the armpit of the U.S., but great people. You know, 2-bedroom apartment, 6 kids. It's almost like a trailer park. Anyway, do you think it's an advantage or a disadvantage?
I think it's whatever you make it.
So it doesn't matter if you were born with everything or born with nothing.
No,
it's what you make of it.
I think it's what you make of it. I think you can absolutely, if you're born into wealth and you're born into the connections that we were talking about earlier, relationship, networking, if you're born into those things, it's a lot easier to advance through life. But you don't have necessarily the grit. You don't have the hardship. You don't have the
nothing to lose.
Yeah, you don't have that attitude. But obviously, on the other end, that's what you bring to the table is that grit, that hardship, the nothing to lose attitude, the I'm a grinder. I'm going to make this. I have to make this happen.
Yeah.
You just don't have the connections. Connections are something that's learned. Grinding is, it's hard to learn that.
Yeah. I used to tell people all the time, because I have, you know, these interns, and some of them are through relationships and they come from everything. And others are, I look for gritty trailer park. You know, this is their big opportunity. And I always say, my wife's like, is there any difference? I said, no, because the ones that are motivated, they have nothing to lose. And the other ones are motivated, they have everything to lose. And it's the ones that can truly see past those things and just want to be better. And also, I find that those like you that want to help other people, like you're very abundant. And I find the people that want to help other people, they're driven to help other people. I know, you know, there's so, I always say the purpose is different than your why, right? Your purpose is truly to have this fulfilled. Everyone knows their why. I can answer it for you. You do what you do so you can help blank. Could be kids, your mom, whatever, right? You everyone does, their why is, I'm going to do this so I can do this for somebody else. Nobody's why is usually, so I can do this for myself. That's somebody else, but literally your why is known, but purpose is different. Purpose is this culmination of where you're at in that journey, that every day you wake up motivated to do something. And, you know, it's rare. We got some huge names on here, you know, on this show, and I wanted to have you on here.
And I'm not one of them.
You will be, and because you grind. Right?
I'm a grinder.
Yeah, and I am too, right? And I'm the same way. I spent most of my career, nobody would know who the heck I was. Warren's guy, I was Lee's guy, right? I was the guy that lost all that money, you know, but literally, you know, I just kept grinding and helping people grind. And pretty soon, you know, the truth comes out and your truth will come out as well. And I can't wait to be a part of that.
Man,
so if you need help, let me know. James Krause, UFC. But champion in UFC fighter, but champion in life. This is Dave Meltzer, Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.